Welcome to the College Audition Podcast with your host, nationally renowned college audition coach, Tim Evanicki.
Hey everybody, Tim Evanicki here with the College Audition, back with another episode of the College Audition Podcast. Today I'm joined by Justin John Moniz, Assistant Professor of Vocal Performance at NYU Steinhardt. Welcome, Justin.
Thank you, Tim. Great to be here.
Yeah, so we wanted to sit down and first get to know you a little bit more. And before we learn anything about the program, we always like to get to know the person first. So if you could give us a little bit about your background and career that has led you up to working at NYU Steinhardt, that would be wonderful.
Absolutely. So let's see. Let's work backwards here. More recently finished my doctorate at Florida State University, did my master's at University of Miami, and did my undergraduate degree in SUNY Potsdam, Crane School of Music. So I have increased the size of university as I've traveled through my educational journey. And I feel like I've been able to experience all different shapes and sizes in terms of program. My career has been a balance of musical theater and concert work and opera, and I'm very fortunate to have trained in voice for all of my degrees, and also feel that I was really fortunate to work with individuals who allowed me to explore my own vocal identity, and so I was able to embrace musical theater very early on, even in programs which were based classical voice, so I'm very fortunate for that. And that's my training in a nutshell.
And you also, you recently released an album yourself. So you're a working musician as well. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah. I recently released a new album called Along the Way, available on all streaming platforms. And it really is a highlight of my journey, my vocal footprint, if you will, and personal and professional. So it was a really great project to delve into amidst the pandemic, something I could do here in New York while I have not been on the road nearly as much. But I'm also very fortunate to be working. I'm an equity actor and have done a lot of work here in New York and previously, and also continue to sing classically. And, you know, just sort of balancing that with my academic endeavors here at NYU, and I love teaching. And so a lot of my gigs too have circled around teaching, you know, and doing master classes at different universities and different high schools across the country. And one of the things I love the most is development and mentorship of young singers. And so I really feel fortunate to be balancing a career as both a singer, but also an educator and a mentor. So I really have enjoyed that balance over the course of the last couple of years, especially.
Yeah. So even though I'm a college audition coach and in the college sort of industry, I first came across you wearing another hat. You are also, you have kind of a really cool gig that I'll let you talk about as executive director of another program.
Absolutely. So Hawaii Performing Arts Festival, I think I've already sold it based on those few words. I'm very fortunate to serve as executive director of the festival. It is a performance program, but it's a training festival that runs every summer on the Big Island of Hawaii. And as luck would have it, I was a participant in that festival many years ago, and later came back on the faculty and sort of moved up the administrative ranks. So I'm very fortunate to be leading that program. And we specialize in both classical voice and musical theater. So we mount fully staged productions every summer in a normal year, of course, where we do operas and musicals and operettas. And we invite students and young artists from all across the globe following a pretty extensive audition tour to join us for a few weeks in Hawaii to work on a new role and to rehearse and perform with a professional orchestra whom we bring in from the mainland and from Oahu. And we're just really fortunate to be able to do that. Of course, last year looked a little different. We're starting to rebuild this year, and we hope that next year we will be back in full swing. So if anybody's interested in finding their aloha, they can certainly check us out online, hawaiiperformingartsfestival.org, and of course via all the social media platforms. It's really a tough sell, Tim.
I know.
So if anybody's like, what am I going to do with my summer? You know, this is this is one we'll twist your arm, try to get you out there for a little Aloha Spirit.
I mean, I won't lie. That's why I first reached out to you when I was looking for teaching artist opportunities. I was like, oh, I guess I could go to Hawaii. And I was fortunate enough to teach virtually for you last year. This summer, are you virtual again? What's happening this summer?
This summer, we've had to change some things around. So, you know, we offered a full virtual program last year to all of our participants, and we didn't want to do the same thing again. Unfortunately, our venues in Hawaii cannot yet accommodate our numbers. So right. We were forced to have to really just cancel the season in terms of our students. But we are doing a very small and intimate concert series this summer, which we'll soon be announcing, to really rebuild. And the theme of the festival this year is the journey back. So it'll be a really small contingency, but really just rebuilding relationships, rebuilding partnerships, so that we plan to come back online next summer, 2022, in full. Back with the full orchestra, full productions, and really looking forward to that because it has been a long time coming.
Well, please know that I will be on the first flight to Hawaii that's available should you need any additional teachers for that year.
Absolutely.
Let's circle back now and let's really dive into the program at NYU Steinhardt. And the first question I always ask everyone is to give me their elevator speech on their program. So tell me, in your own words, you know, what, describe your program.
It's so hard to do this in such a short amount of time, but I'll take my best shot at this. You know, Steinhardt is so unique in so many ways. First of all, of course, being in New York is invaluable. I don't think anybody can argue with that. But Steinhardt not only provides the world-class training and mentorship that students would expect coming to a school like NYU, but it also provides opportunities to connect with industry professionals from the first year. One of the beautiful things about being in New York City is that we have so many people at our disposal, right? And so we're able to invite, collaborators to campus really on a weekly basis. So the students are getting interface from as early as their first and second semester with some really remarkable individuals from the industry. That's not even including the faculty themselves. So it's a really remarkable program. I know you're probably going to ask, which is the question we get often, about the comparison between Steinhardt and Tisch. You know, one of the things I can say to you regarding Steinhardt, as you know, is a bachelor of music program. So the emphasis is more rooted in the fundamentals of musical training. And there's a great emphasis on voice because it is a vocal performance degree with a concentration in musical theater. You know, that being said, we have a pretty extensive acting curriculum. We have a phenomenal dance curriculum. You know, we have a lot of opportunities for students to come out as triple threats, and which many of our students do. And we're really delighted to be able to have those offerings. Much of that is a result of where we are located. And I think one of the things that students often try to decide in the application process is, do I want Steinhardt or do I want Tisch? Because you cannot apply to two. You have to select one school within NYU. And so, you know, to that I say, well, if your passion is really in music and in the voice first and foremost, then I think Steinhardt would be the best option. If you're looking for a BFA and you're looking for something that is less driven in terms of music and the voice, then you're probably looking to Tisch for more of a match in that regard.
Yeah. The question, you know, the $25,000 question that I always have to the students after they say NYU is, do you want to do Tisch and Steinhardt? And they ask me what the difference is. And you know, I say, well, Tisch is the school of drama. And then, so Steinhardt is the school of what?
Well, Steinhardt is a school of all things.
Yeah. That's
and it sort of confused me at first, too, because I'm thinking to myself, well, is it the School of Music? But it's actually the Department of Music and Performing Arts Professions, which does confuse a lot of people because the size of our department is the size of most music schools. Our department is very large mm-hmm. and serves not only voice, instrumental, you know, studies, but also drama as well. I mean, there's educational theater. There are so many theatrical components and opportunities within Steinhardt. So Steinhardt is the school of culture, education, and human development. And so one of the things that sets Steinhardt aside is that, you know, we're really cultivating the full person. and we're really cultivating the full artist. And remarkable artists are informed by the humanities, and remarkable artists are informed by culture, and remarkable artists are informed by human development and how we as artists communicate to others and how we connect. You know, human connection is crucial, and it's really what drew all of us to this art form in the first place, you know?
Yeah. It's such a unique opportunity at Steinhardt, because at other universities, if you are a musical theater major, you are housed probably in the School of Music or the School of Theater, so you're surrounded by other musicians or theater people or maybe opera students or whatever. But at Steinhardt, it's really such a melting pot there, and it's always been so interesting to me. This year, I actually, for the first time, had more students apply to Steinhardt than I did to Tisch. It's never happened before. But I know, right? But I think it's just because I sort of was able to sit down and explain to them the difference between the two. And when you really look into it, Steinhardt is appealing on so many levels. Can you talk a little bit about some of the highlights of your program that sort of would set it apart from other Bachelor of Music programs out there in musical theater?
Absolutely. I think one of the most incredible things about our program in vocal performance is that there are three different tracks. There's the vocal performance in music theater, there's the vocal performance in classical voice, and then there's a vocal performance concentration in contemporary voice. And what this allows students from any of those tracks to explore many facets of their vocal identity. So one of the things that we pride ourselves on at Steinhardt is that we encourage our musical theater students to audition for our pop and rock ensembles. We encourage our musical theater students to audition for the opera or any operettas or concert work that we're doing. And it's through that collaboration that we're training flexible and sustainable voices. And you know this, Tim, as somebody who's trained classically yourself. You know, if you can put the emphasis on flexibility, you know, you're more likely to be sustainable in the industry. So one of the things that we offer that I don't know any other program that does is that we offer the opportunity for our musical theater students to cross into these other concentrations in terms of maybe classes they want to explore, ensembles they want to take. One of the things, too, that's really no surprise to anybody now is that musical theater is really rooted in contemporary commercial music. Pop and rock is really driving the industry right now. And so one of the things that we're really excited about is our contemporary offering. So a lot of our musical theater majors are singing in our pop rock ensemble or our contemporary voice ensemble to get the experience working in these styles really specifically with pop and rock artists, as opposed to just musical theater. So it really gives a unique and very genuine experience, if you will, you know, being able to draw upon somebody who doesn't just do this, that is the only thing they do. So you're really working with specialists in all of these different areas, which I think is what makes our program so unique.
Yeah. So you sort of answered my next question somewhat in there, and I have a feeling that the answer to the next question is going to be much larger than it normally is when I ask other programs. But can you talk to us a little bit about the performance opportunities for a musical theater student? Because it sounds like there's so many more performance opportunities outside of just doing musicals.
Absolutely. So, you know, we have a really exciting main stage season that we mount every year. We do 3 to 4 productions in the fall and 3 to 4 in the spring. And when we say main stage, this, of course, includes everything. So, for instance, this semester, you know, we're doing Songs for New World. We're doing a concert with the Broadway Orchestra, which we're really excited about. And we're also doing, in opera, we're doing Così fan tutte. And we have students, again, who are musical theater concentrations, who are exploring opera, who are musical theater concentrations and exploring the contemporary voice projects that we do. And that's, I think, what makes it so remarkable. So there are a number of productions to audition for and be involved in each year on the main stage, you know, and then we also have student-run organizations as well. And there are opportunities to get involved with West Forth, which is our student organization that produces musicals throughout the year. And there are so many ensembles to get involved with as well. I mentioned to you just Pop Rock Ensemble, which is one of the ensembles in the program that I have the pleasure of leading. But we also have a number of other fabulous ensembles that musical theater singers would be really well-equipped to jump into. You know, everything from contemporary voice to our vocal jazz ensemble with Janice Siegel. We have so many remarkable ways to get involved beyond just, say, a main stage production. Also, too, the students in their first semester in the musical theater program are part of the new Student Spotlight, which is essentially a showcase during their first semester that highlights each of them and what they bring to the program. And it's really a celebration of that. So they're getting on stage from the first semester, and then beginning in their second semester, they're eligible to audition for all of the main stage productions. And we have this year, freshmen who have been cast in the shows. So there is many an opportunity to jump in and to take full advantage of all the things that we offer at Steinhardt.
So when you say your main stage productions, where are those performed?
So... Well, currently, currently,
well, not
virtual.
Currently,
but you know, we have a number of venues on campus that we utilize for the production. Our main venue in Steinhardt is the Frederick Lowe Theater, that is a really, really nice venue that's housed in Steinhardt. We have a number of other opportunities across campus. There's actually construction on a brand new performing arts facility, which is scheduled to open not this fall, but next fall. And it's going to be entirely state of the art, and it's going to have a hydraulic pit, and it's going to have all the bells and whistles of a Broadway house. So wow. We're really looking forward to that, and that's going to be huge for us. And, you know, we couldn't be any more excited. We also have the Kimmel Center, which is a remarkable space that we use often for our Broadway orchestra concerts. So I use this term Broadway orchestra. You may not know what this is, but this is an ensemble that's entirely devoted to musical theater music. And we've recently done a number of concert productions with them. So we'll have like a main stage fully mounted production. And then in the spring, we'll do, in addition to a regular production, we'll do a Broadway orchestra concert. So we're really doing much of the full score with a full Broadway orchestra. And so it's a remarkable opportunity. We did last year, last season, City of Angels. We've done Anything Goes recently in that slot. Of course, last season we also did a full production of Gypsy, which is really exciting. We did Frank Wildhorn's Wonderland and had Frank in the room with us for much of the process. And reworking the score with the students and talking about the book and making some new and exciting decisions. So there's a lot to do. There's a lot of ways to get involved. And certainly I think when that additional performance venue comes online, it's going to be remarkable for our students. And we're really looking forward to that new venue opening in fall of 22.
Great. Great. So... Steinhardt, like Tish, is part of a very large university in New York City. Are there opportunities for Steinhardt students to minor or study other things within the university?
Yeah. Minors are a very common thing amongst the vocal performance majors. But as we tell everybody, the vocal performance curriculum at Steinhardt is very, very packed in.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things to consider is just how much time you may have to do other things. And depending on the student and depending upon their academic profile, they may be well equipped. You know, we do have some pretty intense academic expectations being NYU. And that's one of the things I think that probably concern people when applying. You know, sometimes we'll get some really remarkable talents, but we don't always get the final say for our top picks because they do need to meet certain academic requirements. So anyway, I digress. But the point of that is to say that if students are equipped, minor is certainly within the realm of possibilities. Sometimes people ask about double majoring, and I think that becomes really problematic with the vocal performance degree in Steinhardt because of the requirements. But a minor is definitely doable, and we've had a number of really successful people complete those.
Oh, great. Yeah, normally with BFAs or BMs, they're packed in there, and they're pretty much pre-planned as well. I certainly know that my time in college, I would have not had any time to do anything else. Walk us through a little bit about a typical student's day, as long as we're talking about this. You know, how early in the morning are they starting? When do rehearsals go to at night? Do they have time scheduled in for, you know, crying and things?
Oh, there's always time to cry. Yeah, but I think it's probably pretty typical of what you would find at most most programs, at least in terms of the BM. You know, in the early part of the curriculum, you know, you're taking music theory, you're taking aural skills, you know, you're taking that music in your training sequence early on, which is pretty unique to a BM. You know, you're taking classes in acting, you know, very early on. You're taking classes in vocal production, which is something we do very early on with our freshmen to give them sort of the basics of anatomy and physiology and function of the voice so that they understand what's happening early on. And movement, you know, movement is a big part of the curriculum. I would say, you know, of course, this again depends on the students, and some of them, you know, can take certain things, liberal arts, in different order. But they're in class much of the day. Most of our freshmen are starting at 9, at the latest 10 o'clock. And they're in class until 5 or 6, much of them. And then if, you know, you're cast in a main stage production, you'll be in rehearsal from 7 to 10. So, you know, you could be looking at a 12-hour day if you are in a production at that time. Of course, not everything is every day, right? So there are probably going to be certain days that are lighter than others. But certainly, it's pretty intense. You know, it's pretty intense. But it allows you to do what you've come to do, and that's to train and to immerse yourself in the art form. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, the best part.
Yeah, one of the concerns I always hear from students when they hear that it's a Bachelor of Music program, and no matter how many times I stand up on my desk and yell this so everyone can hear it, they're concerned that they're not going to get the same amount of dance and acting that they would be getting in a BFA musical theater degree. Can you talk to that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, our acting program is very comprehensive. So, you know, there's if you want to be in acting, you could be in acting. I mean, like, you know, beyond the requirements, we have a lot of electives as well. In terms of the dance question, I've got a student right now who's a sophomore who's minoring in dance, and she's in 3 dance classes this semester as a vocal performance major. So it is possible. You know, the offerings are there. I think our dance offerings are really phenomenal. And, you know, if you do explore within Steinhardt, you know, there are dance classes within vocal performance, and there are also dance classes outside of vocal performance. So if there's something that you want that we are not offering within our curriculum, you know, beyond, say, the basics of ballet, tap, jazz, modern, you know, you can go venture into another department and be able to take dance classes that would, at the very least, count as elective credit towards your degree.
Great. So NYU, as we know, is an urban campus. It's not your typical college campus experience. You know, your quad is Washington Square Park. Can you talk to us a little bit about student life and what they sort of have within arm's reach attending Steinhardt?
Yeah, I mean, this is probably not a very good answer, but they have everything within arm's reach. Mm-hmm. You know, being in the middle of New York, I mean, you know, you're but a train ride from anything you could possibly dream up. The thing about our campus, like you mentioned, Tim, is that it is Washington Square Park. That's our central. That's our hub. And, you know, you are immersed in culture. You know, you're but, like I said, a train ride or even a walk from some of the most remarkable performance venues. There are so many things happening in the village. And there are so many things happening, you know, across the city. So I think I haven't met a student yet, let's say, that has not found their way here in New York City, because there are so many ways to take in New York City. You know, there are so many ways to become a part of the culture that is New York. And there are so many things to do outside of Steinhardt. You know, there are great ways to get out and see the city. And that's been actually on a lot of our students' agendas this year, being that we're in the pandemic, right? Getting out and exploring all that New York has to offer. It's been an unusual year, but it's been a remarkable year in that we've sort of all given a closer look to what we have right here. So often we take for granted of what's around, you know, but, you know, we're also realizing the beauty and the inspiration that is New York City. And so often you know, we're inside the theater and don't see that. You know, there are so many great places to spend time here in New York that as an artist is so inspiring. So I think it's forced us all to slow down a bit and to really take a look at what we have here. And we have so much more than just the arts and culture. You know, we have nature, we have, you know, the Hudson River bike path, we have the new island that's opening up on the Hudson River called Little Island. I mean, there are so many amazing little nooks and crannies within the city that I know in a normal year we would never think to explore and to go to. So it's been great.
Leave it to New York to open a new island. It sounds so funny to hear. I heard that was happening. I was like, what? Did they make this island?
They did. They erected this island. It's like a bunch of pods in the Hudson River. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. What role do you have in the audition process for Steinhardt? Do you personally have?
So our full-time faculty, of which there are four of us, share the responsibilities of going through all the pre-screens, and most of us try to watch them all as full-time faculty members, and most of us are in all of the auditions. So I would say I have probably 1/4 of the vote, you know, in terms of numbers. We really communicate and collaborate quite a bit in these decisions, and if there is a decision to be made that we're on the fence about, there's always extensive conversation to be had surrounding that unique case. So that's something that I really think that we do really well. You know, it's never just like a cold number vote. It's always a collaboration and a discussion regarding candidates which may be on the fence. Because as I say to students all the time, we are rooting for you in the room. You know, we want to see the best of you and we want to see your potential. And we look for that in the pre-screen, but we also look for that in the live audition, be it in person or via Zoom. So, we're always talking and always collaborating in terms of those discussions.
So your pre-screen requirements are different than the common pre-screen requirements that a lot of the schools are using right now. You actually ask, oh, I don't remember, is it a full song? Or is it 2 minutes of a song? Or what are the requirements this year?
Yeah, people tend to send us both. And actually, I've got to look back at our requirements, too. I probably should have done that before today.
it wasn't on the questions that I sent in advance to you, so I apologize.
But no worries. I mean, some people do submit full songs, but we're very open to that. But we also are happy to accept cuts as well. And oftentimes, we will look to that based on the parameter of time, you know. So, I think coming back on your question here regarding what the requirements are, ours are a little different. You know, we don't require a dance video, but certainly encourage students to submit that if they feel that's a strength of theirs. You know, we do ask for a monologue, which is something that's important to us as well, that we may also ask for in the audition. So I would say, you know, it really... Every school is so unique, right? And it really depends upon what the school is looking for. But I'll tell you, first and foremost, we're looking for honest and vulnerable storytelling. I know that people think vocal performance, voice, voice, voice. But, you know, if you've got a beautiful voice and you come into our auditions, you know, there are so many beautiful voices that come into our auditions. Everybody applying to Steinhardt, you know, for the most part, can sing well. You know, they've had musical training. They feel they're ready to tackle a BM. And so the singing part is not necessarily always the make or break. It's, can somebody deliver a lyric? Can somebody live truthfully in a circumstance? And, you know, we're not looking for finished products, but we're looking for people who have taken some risks and made some decisions, you know, coming in and sharing something with us. We want to see what they have to say.
So students, you do pre-screens, students submit pre-screens, and then are they invited to a live audition or next? Is that always the case?
Always?
Well, I mean, candidates you're interested in, are they then passed on to a live audition?
Yeah, the people that we need more information from are passed on, you know, to the live experience, if you will. There have been some extenuating circumstances. I know a couple people in years past have assumed that if they weren't invited, you know, they were out of the running. That's not always the case. But generally speaking, you know, we do like to meet with people to get a feel for them and to allow them to get a feel for us. That's a big part of the process. We want to see, you know, how receptive and flexible they are, and we would like to also be sure that they're comfortable with us, you know. Yeah. So that's a big part of it.
You may have noticed that I sort of knew the answer to that question while I was asking it. And the reason I asked is because I have had students in the past couple of years that, you know, they hear nothing back from their pre-screen, and then come March, an offer comes, and then they never did the live audition. So I just wanted to put that out there that, like you said, having not heard anything back from the pre-screen doesn't necessarily mean it's a no for you at Steinhardt. It just means that they don't need any more information from you, and that can be a good thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it's tough because we have so many people we want to hear and we want to meet, but we only have so much time to do it, you know, right. And that's a big part of it as well.
Right. So how many pre-screens do you receive on a normal year?
So normal year is tough, right? Because I've been here for two cycles now.
Oh, right.
And they've been very, very unique cycles. But what I can say on average, we see for undergrad about 500 to 600 submissions. And of those submissions, of course, this is vocal performance, right? So there are different, mm-hmm. but this is just our number for the vocal performance program. Of course, musical theater is the most popular, so we have the most musical theater applicants, which probably comes as no surprise to anybody. Of those 500 to 600, we normally invite 150 to 170. Mm-hmm. This year, we invited 250.
Oh.
We invited many more. We had much... overall, we were so impressed with the quality of candidates, and we actually wound up adding more audition days because there were a lot of people we wanted to meet. And unlike some schools, you know, we did have a full live Zoom audition. And it was very important to us to have that connection and the opportunity, especially now when students can't necessarily travel easily to campus, to give them that feel for what it would be like to attend, you know, NYU Steinhardt. So this year we invited 250, and that was a lot of people to meet.
Yeah. So what is your target size for your incoming freshman class?
So our target size within musical theater is about 15 on the low side to 25 on the high side. So we're looking somewhere in there as sort of like our ideal. Mm-hmm. And some years on the little bit higher, some years a little bit lower. I'd say musical theater has been pretty consistent. The thing about NYU, and I can just come out there and say this because so many people think, you know, the voice faculty or the drama faculty or whomever's in the audition are the final say. And that's not always the case. As I mentioned earlier, you know, NYU, the undergraduate admissions office, has very specific metrics for measuring students. And the vocal, you know, and acting audition is but one part of that equation. So, you know, we may give somebody a really high score, which is fantastic, but if they don't have a high score in other areas or they're really deficient, the university may not be as quick to accept them. So, mm-hmm. you know, the list we send to the university is not always the list that we see come back to us because of some of the academic considerations. So for us in the undergraduate arena, it's a little bit harder to say for sure, you know, how many do you accept? Because we don't have the final say over how many we accept. We have the final say over our scores. And then the university makes the final decisions based on their numbers and their academic metrics, which is a big part of the equation at NYU.
Yeah. So we're going to, I'm going to go off script a little bit. I sent you those questions in advance, but because you're a through and through voice teacher like myself, I want to ask you some questions about the pre-screen process and some tips and pointers for some students as they're submitting their sure. applications to you. What do you feel are the things that the students need to remember when they're selecting their material to submit to you?
They need to remember to select material that they connect to and that they are able to deliver comfortably, and remember that it's not just about the voice. People often feel they have to show us what they could do vocally because we're a vocal performance program, but I can't stress enough how important it is to us to see somebody who can live truthfully within a circumstance and truthfully within a text. So I would say being sure that, you know, you may well want to show us what you can do vocally, but being really sure that what you're choosing and what you're choosing in consultation with your coach or your teacher is something that really fits you and shows us who you are. That's the biggest issue I see. You know, sometimes we'll get some really fabulous talent, but they will be singing repertoire that's not quite them, or things that don't quite fit where they are in their journey within life, you know? So I think it's really important. Let me say the biggest problem that we see with pre-screens and with auditions in general, if ever there is a problem, contrasting selections does not necessarily just mean two time periods or two tempi. And I say that because what we're looking for primarily is contrasting vocalism, because we need to be sure that singers are flexible enough to be able to work in head function and chest function. And, you know, sometimes we'll get somebody come in, belt something really contemporary, and then present their contrasting selection as always true to you in my fashion. And yeah, it's contrasting. You know, they may have sung a contemporary ballad, and this is an up-tempo, you know, traditional golden age piece, you know, but it's not really contrasting because it's the same vocalism. So I encourage everybody to give a really close look about what it means to be contrasting, and we've tried to guide people, you know, with the website as best we can in terms of being really specific about that. But that's one of the biggest problems, because then they come to the audition, you know, they belted. It's nice, but then what else do you do?
I think students too often pick the song first and think about what it's showing later. Where I always tell students to flip that on its head and, you know, think about what it is about your voice that makes you unique to all the other 17-year-olds that they're about to hear, and then seek out music that is going to show that off, that is going to show your strengths. And if that song is On My Own from Les Mis, even though it's squarely on that elusive do not sing list that everyone talks about because it's quote unquote overdone, which, by the way, I've not heard a teenager sing that song in I don't know how many years, because Les Mis is now considered in their minds like classic Broadway. But I don't, who cares if it's that do not sing list? If it's your best song or if it shows you off the best, I always tell the student they should absolutely go in there and sing that first. Instead of just trying to pick the music, that they've never heard before. I say your job is not to entertain the people behind the table. They're not paying for the performance. Your job is to show them what you can do and make them feel something. Often the kids are just trying to bring in, you know, that song from that musical that had three performances in the Village that one time that no one's ever heard of. And that's just, I don't think it's that important.
Or the song that was cut, you know, that we've never heard.
Never heard 10 times already that day.
Right, exactly. But, you know, the interesting thing is, and you hit it right on the head, Tim, you know, I would much rather hear somebody sing Mr. Snow for the 30th time and sing well and show us that they can live truthfully in a circumstance than sing something that is so obscure, that is dug up, you know, from the Oscar Hammerstein's grave. But just doing something that just shows what they're capable of doing. It's okay if other people have done it, so long as you bring something unique to the table and you have something specific to tell us.
Vicky Busser from Baldwin Wallace once said in a workshop with my students, you know, when they're auditioning on Broadway for Wicked, all 250 girls called back are going to sing Defying Gravity. The person who sings it the best is going to get the job. Right. And that's because they're going to show what they can do the best. Mm-hmm. And that's really the student's job. So I'm glad to hear you say that. And gosh, I'm glad you agree with me as well. So you already said that when you're watching these pre-screens or seeing the live auditions, you're looking for someone who is honest and vulnerable and telling a story. What other qualities do you feel, not only qualities that you look for, but qualities that a student should have if they're applying to Steinhardt?
Flexibility, openness, Some of the students in our auditions will become a little frazzled when we ask them to do it again or to change an element of their vocalism or alter a bit of their circumstance. If we do that, we're interested in seeing how you play, you know? And one of the things that is so important to us are getting people in the room and then getting people into our program that are flexible and willing and eager to try new things. Sometimes we'll hear somebody who's so remarkably talented, but we will agree that they may not be the best for our program because they seemingly are stuck in their way. You know, we want people who are curious. We want people who are coming to discover new tactics and are eager to investigate maybe a new process. And those are the people who are the most interesting, and those are the people who we're most excited about. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not about coming in as a final product. If you were a final product, you wouldn't be coming to school. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about coming in with a sense of curiosity and openness and vulnerability and being willing and able to make changes. So in the audition, we love people who are willing to try something new, to discover something with us for the first time. And that, I think, is the most exciting thing.
Right. And you also hit on something that I actually spoke about in our last episode with Catherine Widener at Ithaca, about students being overcoached when they're walking in on the material. I mean, the armography of your vocal audition should never be choreographed. It should be real and in the moment. And that, I think that comes along with the vulnerability that you were speaking to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, it's important to rehearse, but it's important to be spontaneous in your presentation. Mm-hmm. You know, you're living this as the character for the first time. Absolutely. So if you come in with something that, you know, you've ironed out all your gestures and your steps and your crosses, it's inauthentic, and it's certainly not you living truthfully in a moment.
Exactly. So as we begin to wrap up here, what are some things that you are looking forward to coming up this fall or this next season at Steinhardt?
Yeah, well, you know, we're so excited to begin to acquaint ourselves with the new sense of normalcy. You know, we're all sort of still discovering exactly what that means. One of the things I feel like we've done really well through this process is that we have adapted to the needs of the industry. We have created new classes. We know that the industry is changing, it is continuing to change, and it will never be the same. We have, you know, instituted classes into our curriculum now regarding home recording techniques. The self-tape will never go away.
Great.
In fact, it will be relied upon even more heavily in the future for companies to save money and then really just, you know, call people back who are they're most serious about. So I'm really excited to see what the industry does, because I know that at Steinhardt we are continuing to respond to the industry, and we are continuing to adapt what we do to best prepare our students for what they do. Mm-hmm. And you know, nobody really knows what the fall is going to hold. You know, we keep hearing things about, you know, Broadway opening up after Labor Day, Broadway opening up in October. We hear, you know, we've heard various rumors from the Met still. I think we're still all sort of waiting to see what exactly the plans are. But I can tell you that as we are preparing to resume a sense of normalcy, we are also preparing to realize the permanent changes to the infrastructure. And I think at NYU, we are very cognizant of that, and we are very reactive to what's happening. And we have been able to make some changes just this year for the better, which I think are going to be big benefits to the students. So really excited to get back, you know, to some sense of in-person instruction. We're all waiting guidance on that, but we're very, very much in great anticipation right now of everything that's coming down from the university. And there's a committee right now between Steinhardt and Tisch and Gallatin that has been formed to really further investigate safe practices for the performing arts. Mm-hmm. So I know the university is very committed to doing everything that they can to resume full operations as soon as possible. So we're just keeping all of our fingers and toes crossed and looking forward to that day.
But no formal announcement yet as far as what the fall is going to look like as far as instruction.
No formal announcement. The only announcement that we've received from the university is that they are committed to a return to in-person instruction. Now, what that means for every individual program is probably a little different, but I think at this point we're just sort of waiting on further guidance. And you know, it's going to be probably representative of what's happening within the theater industry in New York, because one of the things we don't have a lot of is space. You know, we're not, you know, a university in Midwest or in Central Ohio where we can go outside and spread out and rehearse. You know, we don't have that luxury. So, and neither do the folks in Broadway houses, for that matter. You know, a lot of it comes down to, you know, the protocols that will be in place. And so some of those things are beyond our control. But we're very optimistic and we're very much looking forward to our season next year. We haven't announced yet, but we have some really exciting titles. And we're hoping to be able to do so in the next month or so.
That's so great. Well, as we're wrapping up here, Justin, let us know how students or parents who have more questions about Steinhardt, how can they reach out and speak to someone about that?
Absolutely. Well, you can visit our website. All of our faculty are incredibly responsive and receptive. But you are able to go to NYU Steinhardt and to the Vocal Performance Program, click on faculty, and you can find everybody's email address there. Probably the easiest way is to start with the full-time faculty, so myself or any of my three colleagues, Anna Flavia Zuim, Diana Heldman, and Eric Hood, all ready and willing to assist and happy to get to know some of our prospective applicants. One thing I would love to plug and recommend if folks are interested in getting the opportunity to work with the Steinhardt faculty is our summer musical theater workshop. We currently have applications open for that, which will be open for a little bit longer, I'm pretty sure, maybe into May. And students can apply to audition for the summer musical theater workshop. The faculty is remarkable. So, you know, it's an incredible opportunity for students to get a feel for what it's like to work within the vocal performance program. And we've got on our faculty, too, Alex Gemignani, who's currently conducting West Side Story. We have Sherry Sanders with us. We have Ali Stroker. We have Natalie Weiss. You know, we have a lot of people here teaching within the summer workshop. We have Justin Moniz.
Oh, I've heard of him. Some,
yeah, have you? We have some really cool people and some folks who are really well connected within the industry that I think, whether or not students decide, hey, I'm going to apply to Steinhardt, get the opportunity over the course of 2 weeks this year, remotely, of course, but to do so and to immerse yourself with a school that you may be curious or perhaps even serious about. And you know, we consider freshmen and up, so it's not too soon to explore the NYU summer intensives. And we've had some musical theater students too have also explored the contemporary voice workshop, which is really awesome. Getting to work with Vanessa Williams and Deanna DeGarmo and some really remarkable people in that program as well who also play a connection to the musical theater program here. So I'm a big fan. I know I'm biased, but it's a great way to get the connections made, to get in the room. And Tim, the best part of this, if I may, is that if you are accepted to the NYU summer intensives, be it musical theater, contemporary voice, or classical, your pre-screen requirement is waived. So you automatically pass through to the live audition. And the best part, you have made relationships with the faculty who will be hearing you in your audition.
That is great. Awesome.
You know, so check it out.
Yeah. Well, Justin, thank you so much for joining us today and chatting about your program and all the other wonderful projects you're working on. I look forward to having you here in Florida real soon to do some workshops with my kids in person. And I also look forward to joining you in Hawaii, if that's a possibility.
Aloha.
Uh-huh. Well, anyhow, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Tim. It's a pleasure as always, and hopefully looking forward to hearing from some of your talented students in the very near future.
Oh, absolutely. I'm pushing them to make those decisions as quick as they can, but I'm sure they'll be in touch soon. All right. Great. Thanks so much, Justin. Have a great day.
Thanks, Tim. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
For more information on the exciting training, workshops, and masterclasses offered by The College Audition, please visit us online at www.thecollegeaudition.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok.